the rest of the day, like that would have been okay. Like that would have been enough. It was so good. So good. But for those who don't know me, my name is Mariah. I am a second year student at Global School of Supernatural Ministry, which I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. I don't know. It's not in my message, but I do want to say, seeing my friends up there, like a lot of the videos were captured in like our classes, and like seeing my friends up there getting touched and getting hit by the power of God, and seeing them from when they first came into the school. I technically did 3 years because I did what is called a global school. Global summer intensive, right? So seeing some of them come in for that, which is only a 3-week summer course. It's super like amazing. Like it's like from, they call it drinking from a fire hose, where you're like out on, like you're in class. It runs from like 9 to 4, 4:30 or something like that. You're in class and then you go out on ministry, like to the street. So you're not getting home until like 8 p.m. and it's like really good. So I started there. And then I'm thinking like, oh, okay, cool beans. I did my little 3-week dose. Like, I'm good. And I remember being in the bathroom and the Lord was like, Mariah, I want you to apply for first year. And I'm like, really? Like, for those who know me, know, like, I just don't like school. I'm going to keep it 100. I don't like school, okay? I don't like lessons. I don't like lectures. I don't like homework. I'm a busy mom of 3. Single mom, so I'm like, school is just not for me. But in obedience to the Lord, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. I don't have the money, I don't have the resources. Remind you, I'm a mom of 3, so I'm like, how am I gonna pay for tuition? Lord's like, you know what, I'll take care of you. Did the first year. I back and forth from my house where I was living in Reading, Pennsylvania, to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, it took me like an hour and maybe 20 minutes on a good day to get to school. Then I would have to take that same hour and 20 minute drive back home, pick up my son from daycare, get the girls from the bus stop, go home, cook dinner, make sure they were all good, then go to work. So that was my first year, and then the Lord's like, I want you to do second year. I'm like, see, Lord, now we're pushing it. We're pushing it. Like, this is another year. I'm like, you know what, Lord? Let me just be obedient. Let me just do what you want me to do. Apply for second year. I'm thinking it's going to go the same way first year did. Well, the Lord threw a little caveat in there, and he's like, I want you to move there. I'm like, what? You want me to pick up my 3 children? Where they are comfortable, they were in school, you know, their stability. You want me to pick them up and move to where I have absolutely no family. Don't know a single soul besides the people I met in school. And I did it. I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna do it. Which kind of leads me into what I wanna talk about today, which is counting the cost. Have you ever, I'm gonna bring it down to something us women enjoy doing, which is shopping. Have you ever gone into a store, right? And you're like, oh Lord, I really want this. I like it, but I don't know if I wanna pay that much for it. You know, that little Michael Kors bag y'all see in Macy's, I know. I want it, but I'm like, Lord, I don't know. It's too expensive, right? And you stand there and you weigh your options. Then you have to make a decision. So I like to propose that following Jesus will have to do the same thing. The cost of following Jesus and being his disciple is costly. I want to read from Luke 14, 25-34. And I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. You can read out of whatever you want to read out of. I think we're going to have the Passion Translation up here for you. But it says, as massive crowds followed Jesus, he turned to them and said, when you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers. And anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered my disciple. So don't follow me without considering what it will cost you. For who would construct the house before first sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it? Have you ever heard of a commander who goes out to war without first sitting down with strategic planning to determine the strength of his army to win the war against a stronger opponent? If he knows he doesn't stand a chance of winning war, the wise commander will send out delegates to ask for the terms of peace. Likewise, unless you surrender all to me, giving up all you possess, you cannot be one of my disciples. Salt is good for seasoning, but if salt were to lose its flavor, how could it ever be restored? It will never be useful again, not even fit for the soil or the manure pile. If you have ears opened by the Spirit, then hear the meaning of what I have said and apply it to yourselves. I just want to put out there that this is not another ear-tickling sermon. I think we need to come away from hearing sermons that make us feel good and hearing sermons that refine us. Because we're living in a time where we're going to need the fire of God. We're coming in a time where we're going to need boldness. We're going to need to be courageous. And I'm not one to sugarcoat anything. It'll cost you the easy life. It's going to cost you sometimes sleepless nights when the Lord taps you on your shoulder to have you wake up at 3 a.m. to start interceding. That's where the oil is produced. That's where the oil that breaks yokes, that's where it's produced. I remember going through a season recently, very recently, where I thought I was going to, I shared a little bit yesterday, but I thought I was losing my mind. I'm like, Lord, you called me to go to ministry school. This is what you said for me to do. You said for me to pick up, move. I'm here. Why am I struggling? I was about to get evicted. I lost a car. I'm like, where's the blessing in this? And I'm like, see, Lord, this is why I didn't want to do it in the first place. This is why I made every soup. This is why. You know, you've had those conversations with the Lord. Look, this is why. And he will wake me up 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. All I could do is just cry and pray. Didn't even have the words to pray. I didn't know what to say, what to pray. All I could do was cry and speak in tongues all night for hours. I would pick up the kids from school, make sure they ate. Man, I would be upstairs in my room. My kids would just come in. I'm on the floor for hours. They would come in and sit there with me, give me a hug, give me tissues. I wouldn't change that. Because it's in moments like this where you don't want to get up at 3 a.m., when you don't want to pray, when you don't want to do that. It's moments like that that produces character. It produces something. There's a substance. So it's going to cost. It may cost you relationships with people you were really close with because they don't understand the journey that God has you on. Parents, family members, even leaders in the church. Bless my former pastor, loved the woman to death, but she didn't understand. I told her, I'm like, listen, I call her Ma, feel like this is what the Lord is telling me. She's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. They thought I was crazy for picking up everything and moving just to attend ministry school. It looks crazy to the natural eye. One would say, I've had people say that I wasn't being a good mother because I'm having like instability in the kids. They're changing schools and I'm trying to find schools where we're living. So the natural eye, it would look like that. But I knew in my heart that this is what God has called me to. This is what he said. It looked crazy, but I don't care. I don't care. It'll cost us to resist temptation to sin. It'll cost us the very thing that we think we deserve from God. It'll cost you the relationship you think you need to be in. It'll cost you your reputation. Oh, I might look crazy to them. I might look like a Jesus freak. So be it. Because you are. I want to be, at least. Are you willing to stand alone for Jesus, even when no one else around you is? Are you willing to die to your flesh, die to yourself? Galatians 2:20 says, we've been co-crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but him, Christ, that lives in me. Are you willing to die to the, I just want to live my normal life, go to work, come home, cook dinner, read my Bible, maybe, go to church on a Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, live like the world? Are you willing to die to comfortability? Being comfortable where you're at. I've had people come up to me and say, Mariah, I've been saved for 30 years, but I haven't seen half the things you've seen in the 10, 15 years you've been saved. And they had to repent for being comfortable and putting God inside of a box. We have to share in his suffering and burial in order to have the resurrected life. We want the goosebumps, we want all this, we want all that, but are you willing to die to yourself? I'm standing here today because I've counted the cost. I've made a decision to follow Jesus, and I'm going after everything he's called me to do. What price are you willing to pay? I see so many leaders in this room, and I see so many powerful people in this room. Only if you could see what I see. What are you willing to die to? Are you willing to throw away the theology of what, well, the Bible says this and this and this? Yes, too much. I was sharing with the pastors yesterday. Too much theology will dry you up. Too much head knowledge will dry you up. But too much spirit and no word, it'll puff you up. You'll become prideful. We got to get rid of these old ways of thinking how God is supposed to be. Well, this is what it should look like. Well, this is how it should be. Get rid of that. God wants to do something new, in a new way. Every revival, I don't know why I'm going off on this tangent, but every single revival that you look at has not been the same. God's coming in a different way, and he wants to use us, but guess what's standing in the way? These religious cows that we have, the way we think. We need to die to that. Salvation is free, but maturity is expensive. Salvation is free, but maturity is expensive. You can easily be saved. You just want your golden ticket to heaven? Is that it? Is that all we've given our life to Christ for? Is just to have our ticket to heaven? We have to come to the end of ourselves, our own ideas, and what we think. Luke 9:23-25. From the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus said to his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace the cross as your own, and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. But if you choose to keep your lives to yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. Even if you gain all the wealth and power of this world, everything it could offer you, yet lost your soul in the process, what good is that? If we try to hang on to something so tight for dear life, we'll lose it. If I took a bottle of water with the cap open and I just grabbed it, all that water is going to fall out. Everything in life we have to hold with an open hand. God, this doesn't make sense to me. This crazy lady is preaching to us. Don't know what she's talking about. But Lord, if there's substance in this, I'm going to hold this with an open hand. God, I really, you know, my finances, I'm not going to invest because this is all I have and I need to pay my bills. You hold that thing too tight, you're going to lose it. You'll allow the God of mammon to come in and have his way in your life. Doesn't belong to us anyway. Just a little testimony of that. I was going through a season of some really crazy hardship, and my husband left and was going through a separation. We wound up getting divorced. And I remember going into our bank account. We had a joint bank account, and I went to go pay the bills. And he took every single red cent out of that account. So I had to go down to the, what they call up north is the welfare office. I don't know what it's called here. And I had to apply for cash assistance. They didn't give me much, but I'm like, whatever. And I remember taking that government money that they gave me, and I would tithe out of that. And I remember people at church were like, Mariah, you can't tithe that. You need that. Your baby needs diapers and this and this and that. I'm like, no, this isn't my money anyway. And I did that, and I remember getting gift cards to Walmart, $200. Like random things would happen to me. My electric got cut off, and I'm just standing there washing the baby's bottles in the dark, and I just was praising God. I'm like, you know what, God, you're good. I wasn't worried. I didn't even flinch. You're good, God. This is who you are. And then I remember packing up the baby. I went over to my pastor's house so we can have dinner, me and the kids. And I remember walking outside, the baby was in the car seat, so I'm carrying the baby, got my two girls, and my neighbor to the right of me, she's getting in her car, and she looks at me, she goes, hey, Mariah. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to go over to my pastor's house, and we're going to have dinner, whatever. She goes, I really feel like I should give you something. And as soon as she said that, I've seen this thing hovering, this white light hovering over her head. And she goes, most randomest thing ever, how much do you need? And I was like, well, whatever, you know, like, I'm not good with giving out numbers because I don't want to ever feel like I'm manipulating someone to, you know, pay all everything I have or whatever. So I just like, listen, I am going through something, but you, whatever you do, or whatever God gives you, because she was a Christian. It's like, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you go. That woman came back with exactly what I needed to pay my electric bill to get my lights cut back on. God is so good. God is so good. And I feel like I've gone through, and everyone, and a lot of people say, Mariah, how do you go through? I have stories of all the craziness I've been through. But I feel like in the midst of that, if I wouldn't have gone through what I went through, my relationship with the Lord wouldn't be as deep as it is. Me and the Lord are like this. Me and God are like this. I got to know him as a father. I got to know him as provider. I got to know him for healer, because he healed my son. My son was born premature. We were in the hospital, and I was declaring scriptures. He had RSV. Oxygen levels very, very low. And I'm like, God, this is who you said you are. I declare scriptures all around his hospital room. In those crazy seasons, and even still now, I'm getting to know who God really is, the heart of our Father. But one thing I learned to do was I learned to lean on other people and learn how to open my mouth and ask for help, because I was Miss Independent. Can't tell me nothing. I'm going to go to work, make my own money, pay my own bills. You know, no one, you know, I take care of my kids. No one can ever say I don't take care of my kids. That was pride. I wouldn't open my mouth if I needed help at all. But one thing in this season God showed me is like, Mariah, it's okay. And I started really getting into the word. I don't know why I'm going off on this, God, you're good. But I started reading the word, and I started to ask, well, what does family look like? And then I would read Acts over and over and over and over again, and there was no lack amongst them. When one had something and the other one didn't, the one who had it gave it to the one who didn't. They took care of each other. And I would read this so much to get it in my spirit, and then I'm like, okay, God, I need to open my mouth and ask. So I would, just this past year, things have happened. I had to go to a church I've been attending and ask for help. Then rejection came. I didn't get the help I was looking for. So then I'm like, Lord, why are your people like this? Right? I'm having this argument. Like, why are believers like I'm their sister? And then God opened my eyes to a whole nother realm where maybe that's an area of influence that I can come in and teach the church. Like, this is what family looks like. Because I've moved to the area. I've only been to the church for a couple months. So I guess to them, like, okay, this lady, who is she? She just going to get money out of us. But like, no, I'm your sister. So it opened my eyes to understand that, yes, I need to open my mouth and ask. But what the church was, I feel in my heart, I'm like, the church is missing unity. They're missing family. We're missing connection. We're missing that. Don't know why I went off on that, but God's good. There's a reason why I said that. But in that, it's going to cost us something. And for a moment, I was like, these people are going to look at me like, you know, I'm needy. I always got my hand out and this and this and that. Cost me to step outside of my comfort zone and where I was comfortable in handling my own. And there's these things and these areas that God wants to put his finger on in our lives. Only if we let him. How can we become laid down and sold out for him if we can't even look out for each other? We are called to be sold out for the gospel. We're called to lay our lives down for one another. And my heart today is to get the message across that you are called to do mighty and great things, step by step, one day at a time. But you are called to do mighty and great things. You are called to change the world. And along the way, it'll cost. But take heart, for the reward is great. The reward is great. And I pray that for myself, that even if I don't see my reward now, that one day I'll see it in heaven. Or my children will experience the reward that I was never able to attain, that I was never able to receive. That the seeds that I've sown in prayer and in tears, that they can say, I remember my mom went through this and I saw my mom how she got through it. God, we're not supposed to live a mediocre life. We are not called to live a mediocre life. We are called for more. There is more. There's more. We got to put away all the complacency. The time is now. You were called for such a time as this. There's a reason you were born in the era that you were born. We have to get the fire back in the church. Today, the Lord wants to make an exchange. But what are you willing to give up? If you were here yesterday, we talked about exchanges. That he always wants to trade up. What are you willing to give up today? Is it your pride? Is it the secret sin that you've been hiding from everyone? And there's no judgment there. None whatsoever. What are you willing to give up? The love of money? Are you willing to give up the thought and the idea that you'll never have enough? You'll never be enough? Are you ready to die to the flesh and become alive in Christ? Are you ready to be a sold out, laid down lover of Christ? Starts today. So if that's you, I want you to stand up. We're going to pray for you. Ministry team, if you can come, we're going to pray. And if we could get some music, that would be phenomenal. If not, absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Father. I thank you for the hunger that is in this room today, God. God, I thank you for these hungry ones, Lord God. I pray right now that the fire of God will fall on each and every one of them. God, let us not grow in complacency, God. Let us not become like stagnant water, Father, forever stuck in our old ways of thinking and our old ways of our theology, God. Come. 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 Like a fresh wind. Come. Like a fresh, mighty wind. Come and blow on every area of our heart, God, that has been hardened. In Jesus' name, if you would like to receive personal ministry, come down to the front. We would love to pray for you. God wants to make it.